God's word is a fire in my bones,
and I cannot keep it in.
We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Good evening, friends. Welcome in to Do Not Keep Silence. Why is it so difficult for some people to wrap their head around such an amazing gift from God Almighty? I'll dig into that tonight. Yeah, this is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. I do appreciate you taking time to tune into the program tonight. Again, you can find out more about the ministry at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Before I get to our program, friends, just want to remind you again, Monday, September 12th, Call to Arms, our very first novel, is going to be coming out on Worldview Warriors Publishing, published by Worldview Warriors there. Author Charlie Wolcott, our author, blogger, speaker for the ministry. Again, Call to Arms. Friends, the trumpet has sounded, a declaration of war, and the need for soldiers to answer the call is even greater than ever. This deadly war is not between two nations of state and politics, though, but between opposing powers of hidden realms. Friends, when a small church youth group clashes with a satanic gang in Silex City Park, James Proctor is the first to answer the call to arms, but he quickly discovers this battle is far bigger than he can handle alone. Peter Saxon also hears the call, but wants nothing to do with it until the war gets personal. When he starts having visions of an epic medieval battle and is recruited by both sides, he realizes just how high the stakes truly are. Friends, Charles Jackson, speaker for Creation Truth Foundation, says this about Charlie's novel. Again, we'll be releasing this in paperback, hardcover, as well as on the Kindle as well. Charles Jackson states this: a hybrid of the genre of C.S. Lewis and of Frank Peretti, Wolcott's tale of spiritual warfare took me away with its solid biblical principles and graphic, gutsy realities. Call to Arms is a powerful allegory for the training of those young now, but who will soon be soldiering in the last great battle of the age. Again, that's from Charles Jackson, speaker for Creation Truth Foundation, on Charlie Wolcott's novel, Call to Arms. Again, it will be available Monday, September 12th of this year, in hardcover, paperback, and on Kindle as well. And I'll share with you more about that later. Again, this is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Now, as we get into our program, friends, Galatians 5. I'll start in verse 1. I'll even share with you some other verses as well. But stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Friends, it even digs into more. Verse 13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Don't use it for license, in other words. But through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Friends, again, that's out of Galatians 5. And as I start this half hour, I just want to ask a question, and hopefully we can get to some answer. Again, if you'd like to message me on Facebook. You can do that. You can also leave a message, a comment at Do Not Keep Silent. You can do that on Facebook there as well. Again, liberty. Why is it so difficult for some of us to wrap our head around such an amazing gift from God Almighty? I mean, it's given to us from Him. Friends, especially those who call themselves followers of Jesus Christ. So many of us struggle with this. Again, Galatians 5 says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Don't go into bondage again. Get the chains off. Live for the Holy Spirit in this life now. I believe, and I've believed for some time now, that it's time for the church to finally have what I call the discussion. The discussion about what real liberty in Christ really means. Many today seem to believe that force is the best way to get something done. And let's just be honest, it doesn't seem to matter if you find yourself in the camp of conservatives, liberals, progressives, or whatever you'd like to align within your mindset. Most people today seriously struggle with what I call the God complex. Yes, our sinful human condition. So many people struggle with that, not understanding that, well, they even have an issue. Friends, we all have the issue. It is beyond obvious now for those willing to actually see it and willing to listen and hear. And I'll even claim this, friends. If you're not willing to see it or hear it or just think I'm playing off my rocker, then you know what? I encourage you, just move on and keep trying to play God with everyone else's life. It's going to get you nowhere. And like it or not, that is sin. But admit it for what it is. We all need to take a good look in the mirror and admit it. Admit that many of us with this mindset not only are in the world, but much of our thinking has become of the world. Which, friends, we've been warned against. The Bible is so clear. 1 John 2:15, it says this, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So with that said, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I encourage you to stop loving the ways of the world. Stop. And I'm not just talking about the big things. I'm talking about being in bondage. Our adversary, friends, he is formidable and knows how to twist scripture to use it to his advantage. Is he a defeated enemy, though? Yes. He and his allies are defeated, but they are not going to go down without a fight. Let's not forget this, friends. Also, it seems to me that many inside of the church today struggle with understanding the difference between living out liberty in Christ and license. Whether a person is a follower of Christ or not really is no matter of when it comes to living out liberty in this world. Please hang with me. Now, do not hear what I am not saying. Friends, living in Christ and living for oneself is very, very different. And of course, I believe most of us who claim to be followers of Christ would like all to come into a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Of course. But friends, that is between each individual person and Almighty God. If one surrenders their life to God, then they will eventually receive godly benefits either in this life or the next. If one defies God Almighty and then goes their own way, then they will eventually receive the just consequences to their actions in this life or the next. Wanting to force a person to change their sinful actions when it directly impacts only themselves is, at least in my humble opinion, unwise. In fact, I think it's easy to deduce that Almighty God actually holds to this exact same position. I do encourage you to go find a blog post I've written. I might even share some of it tonight. The God Who Loves a Screw-Up, to try and understand this position more. When someone's actions directly impact another person, now that is an entirely different matter. Does sin, in fact, impact others? Well, yes. Even sin that might seem not to impact them and only directly impact the offender. For instance, Adam and Eve's sin, well, it affected all of creation. Even though at the time, it seemingly only impacted them and their lives. Yet God allowed them to live out their liberty in Him and did not ever force them to follow Him and His ways. Again, you know, I am going to share part of the God Who Loves to Screw Up, because, friends, we need to think through that even more. Again, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And friends, those choosing not to follow Christ, let's just think about them for a bit. They're going to receive their just consequences to their actions. God is a just judge. He's a good and loving just judge. Now, many will more than likely receive natural law consequences in this world that Almighty God put into place in His creation. He put these consequences there so that people could learn about His ways and the importance of going His way. Yet today, so many want to get rid of these natural consequences that come through sinning. Still others seem to desire to get rid of the natural benefits that some receive when they choose to put godly ways into practice in their own lives. Let me give you an example. If a person, after working hard, earns a sum of money and then chooses to save the money now that God has graciously provided for them, and then they try to make investments to grow the amount instead of spending it right away, shouldn't they be able to do that without fear of having it stolen from them, even if you'd agree with the theft that happened, because you're going to do something quote-unquote good with that money? Yet today, so many these days are envious and greedy of this person because they think they should have it, and then try to force that person to give it to someone else. Sadly, friends, we are seeing this all the time in our society. We need to really think this through. We need to really consider, are we truly following God or following our own ways? My name is Jason Dzurek, your host for the program. You can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason Dzurek.
In light of atheists telling me for years that you don't need God to be good, or that people can be good without God, it looks like even George Washington would disagree with those ideas. Friends, I'd encourage you to ask yourself the following questions after this quote. Washington stated, "Let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle." Friends, if there is no creator God who set natural law into order, who makes up the rules for living? And if it is a person, how do they know what good really is without a set foundation already being instituted? We'll find our blog post titled Being Good Without God today.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason DeZurich.
Many years ago, we heard the phrase, a fundamental transformation of the United States of America. I think it is safe to say that many, if not most of us, really didn't know what this phrase really meant at the time. Some people were willing to call it out for what they saw as a direct attack on our foundational beliefs laid near the beginning of our nation's founding, and they were ridiculed for being, well, closed-minded, or even accused of being hateful or racist to those wanting this fundamental transformational change. Well, friends, I think we now see the result of this attempted fundamental transformation of our nation and even of the Christian faith. To find out more about this, go to our blog and look for our posting titled, The Foundation Matters.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Yeah, go find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. And as I shared with you earlier here tonight, I'm going to dig into just a bit the God who loves a screw up, simply because, friends, it's something that needs to be grasped. For me, about 12 years ago, at about 4 in the morning, I finally seem to have taken hold of this idea. Friends, the God who created us and put us on this planet, he loves us so much that he desires us to love him, you ready for this, freely. But in order for this to happen, he's got to be willing to allow us to go against him and his ways. For instance, he has given us rules and guidelines by which we're to live in this world. 10 of them are found in Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments. Now, in these Ten Commandments, one of these tells us to worship no other gods but him. So, if we worship only this God, who created the whole universe out of nothing, he'll be pleased, and we're not going to be sinning in that. But will God allow us to choose to worship another God or ourselves in place of the one true God? Well, friends, the answer actually is yes. He loves us so much that he will allow us to turn our backs on him, though he doesn't want that to happen. But he's willing to allow it to happen. Will God allow us to choose to, let's just get to it. Will God allow us to choose to have sex with someone other than our husband and our wife? The answer is clearly yes. Will God allow us to choose to disobey and dishonor our parents? Again, the answer is yes. He loves us so much that he allows his creation to go against him. He allows us who are made in his image to do what we want. Now, he does not force us to love him. He doesn't even force us to do his will. And friends, he doesn't force us to obey. He's a good parent. And this is where his people come in. Christ's followers are called to speak the truth in love. I believe that means we are, to tell, sometimes warn people what the truth is. Now, if these people were warning and telling about choose to follow him, praise the Lord. That's between them and God. Should they choose to not follow God, should they choose not to surrender and go his way? Again, that is between them and God. Even if they do not believe in him, it's their free will to choose. Are you willing to love as much as God does, or at least strive to do that? Friends, we're called to love. You notice force has not been instituted here at all. God doesn't do that. He doesn't kick the door down to people's hearts. He's a gentleman. Jesus talks about, I stand at the door and knock. He's knocking. He's not kicking the door down saying, here I am. He's waiting for you to open the door and welcome him in. Friends, this goes also for our own Christian brothers and sisters. You can tell people the truth about helping the poor and poverty-stricken. But once you force people to help them, I truly believe you've stepped over the line. And here is the perfect example, in my humble opinion, about, well, helping us to think through this. It is the account of Ananias and Sapphira that we see in Acts 5. Friends, think about this. They sold a piece of property and said they gave all the money from the sale to the church. A quick check on the context, of this passage shows us that believers who were a part of the way began to sell their possessions and goods for the betterment of the whole body of Christ. Yeah, the church. And you'll notice that they were not forced to do this. They were not required to give everything to the group. How do I know this for sure? Because Peter says this in Acts 5, 3 through 4. Quote, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. Friends, just a little bit more background. Ananias and his wife Sapphira, they owned a field and sold it. They told the church that they gave them all of the money from the sale when they'd actually kept part of the sale for themselves. So, friends, this is easily deduced. Their sin wasn't that they actually kept part of the money. That wasn't it. In fact, Peter doesn't even mention that. What does Peter mention? He says that they lied to the Holy Spirit. Friends, again, why did they do this? Well, it seems that their desire was to receive praise and glory that they did not deserve. You know, I mean, if they had given all of the money, it seems at least to me that they would have received a blessing if they'd only given part of the money and been honest and actually told the truth. Hearing Peter, I mean, it seems that they would have been fine. The point is that God is the judge, not human beings. Their consequence for lying, well, friends, it was instant death. This helps us to see that the choices we make have consequences, good or bad. We can either choose to live God's way or not. And our choices, well, friends, they affect more than just us. They affect others as well. Sometimes for the good, and sometimes for the bad. But friends, forcing people to follow God's ways, that is not freedom at all. Again, Galatians 5, we see, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery or a yoke of bondage. Friends, we need to have this discussion in the church. It needs to happen. Let me try to illustrate this point just a little further as we wrap up. dear friends, as you know, we have 6 children. When any of our children were at the 2 years old age, well, if we would not have disciplined them in their sinful actions, well, as they got older, ooh, what a challenge that would have been. Believe me, our children were normal children. They're still normal. They wanted their way. As their father, though, I would be doing a terrible job. I would have done a terrible job raising them if I did not correct their actions that are now sinful. And friends, we required first-time obedience in teaching our children at a young age. I can go much more into that later on. Again, this is Do Not Keep Silent. My name is Jason Nazurek, your host for the program. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. As we wrap this up, go check out James 2, 1 through 26, and go live out your faith in Christ in all that you do. And this is Do Not Keep Silent. Don't be a pushover. I'll see you next time, and you go out and make today great.
Be made new in Jesus Christ.
I will play your games. Just let me be.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.